Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday.
Tobias, some of y'all know me as Smitty. Number 347-850-1065. Don't know how long I'm going to do this tonight. And I know that people are out with their families, doing a little traveling, hanging out. So anyone who calls in, participates, or even the chat room, greatly appreciate it as always, especially if you got a holiday weekend. All right, with that being said, thing I wanted to talk about today, and it kind of ties in, I wanted to talk about Muhammad Ali a couple weeks ago, but I just didn't have, you know, work schedules, so it was tough for me to get in and do a show proper on that. But I kind of want to tie that also with Jesse Williams' speech last week at the BET Awards. Now, I don't watch BET, so I actually saw the speech where people like posted it on YouTube and on Facebook and seeing how it made the rounds nationally. But I'm actually going to tie those two in together and also talk about I talk about the men on this, the black men on this. And by the way, hey, Convener Man, shout out to Convener Man in the chat room. And but I want to tie in, like I said, how cowardly today's black man of means with money. I'm not talking about the guy making $40,000, $50,000, the regular average everyday Joe. I'm talking about black males who have enough money that they can, that four or five generations down the line don't have to work. I'm talking about those guys. But we all know, like, a month or so ago, Muhammad Ali passed away. He is the greatest of all time. Not just because of what he did in the ring, but what he did outside the ring. He put it all on the line for his people. He missed out on his prime earning years. It was good, Kabina, man. All right. But he missed out on his prime earning years believing what was right. Standing up for what he believed in. Not backing down. Being unapologetic. Kind of ironic now after he passed, white people are loving him. Or then you have some that's talking about, oh, he was a draft dodger. I don't entertain those conversations because I'm sure a lot of white kids out there was dodging that draft. And at the end of the day, that was a war we had no business being in the first place. So he was right all along. But when people bring that up, that shows they have no argument. That shows they have nothing. But you notice that white people liked Muhammad Ali. As Jim Brown would say, white people start liking Muhammad Ali, I'm paraphrasing, after he lost the ability to speak with his health finally, with Parkinson. So it took away his ability to speak. When he was young, spry, speaking his mind, white people hated him. But here's the other thing that people haven't thought of. Muhammad Ali was speaking on this stuff in the 60s. Remember now, Martin Luther King, shot. Malcolm X, shot. James Meredith, shot. Megan Evers, shot in the driveway of his own house. He put his life on the line also. And I wish that Muhammad Ali didn't lose his ability to speak like that, because I would love to hear what I would love to hear his thoughts on what's going on out there with Tamir, what happened to Tamir Rice, Rekia Boyd, Sandra Bland, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, Akai Gurley, Amadou Diallo. I was thinking of an old basketball player, Mamadou Ndiaye. So I'm sorry about that. Amadou Diallo. Not trying to disrespect the man. Speak ill of the dead. But would love to hear what he says. I would love to hear his thoughts, if you're able to, on our black president who won't even say anything. But flip that also to Jesse Williams last week. I never watched Grey's Anatomy a day in my life. So, just hearing about the guy is fairly new to me. Mind you, this man, you know, he's mid-30s, got a black wife. Yes, his mom is white. He's light-skinned. His dad's black. Before the people are talking about the light-skinned this, light-skinned that, half-breed this, mix that. When the cops pulled him over before he made that speech, they realized Jesse's just another nigger. Call it what it is. And Convenient Man's right. Ali was a hero to most black people in the 60s and 80s. And Convenient Man, correct me on this. There's probably a lot of black folks there talking about, oh, Muhammad Ali causing all that trouble. But Jesse Winds, I liked his speech. And there's a couple of things that I listened for that I'm glad that that made me like his speech. Jesse didn't go off saying minorities, people of color, black and brown, all lives matter. He didn't say all that. Because, see, black people, we are not minorities. We are not people of color. We are black. White people, you don't hear them say, well, the problem is countries are minorities and the people of color. Minorities and people of color are out here causing all this trouble in the community. They're doing all these crimes. They don't say minorities and people of color doing that. You know what they say? Black people are violent. Black people don't know how to act. The problem's the blacks. Black thugs. They don't say people of color thugs or minority thugs. Or even this, black people. When last time you heard of a Mexican, say, or Latino, just, well, let's make it abroad. Say black and brown. Brown and black or whatever. I live in Phoenix. Covina man lives in California. We don't hear that talk very often. They don't hear them say black and brown over there, brown and black or whatever. They are for themselves. The thing that I liked was that Jesse was said names with Tamir Rice. Well, he said that a cop could roll up, commit a drive-by murder on a 12-year-old boy and go home and make a sandwich. That's pretty much what he did. For the black folks that love body cameras, these black people are getting shot and killed on cameras, nothing happening. See, here's the thing. Yes, we are upset at these black people, black kids being shot. But you know what? Hey, Covina man dropped it. He said, I haven't heard Latino people mention us in the early 70s. Oh, yeah, by the way, black people, a lot of those Latinos want to be white. If you think they like black people and y'all keep saying they won't vote for Trump, no, I'm going on sidebar here. Turn on Univision and Telemundo and see that how many dark Latinos are out there. Yeah, but anyway. We're in a society where you got children, black children, being killed like that by a drive-by shooting by a police officer. Didn't even charge a man. Not even, no indictment. And so that pretty much, the man didn't even go to trial. But as I was saying earlier, I got my train of thought back. It's not just the killing. But it's the unwillingness to even have these cops and other white people have their day in court, their days in court. They're not even going to trial for this stuff. They're just being said, all right, it's not enough evidence. We're not going to charge them. Little tidbit here, guys. A lot of you black people love the Democrat Party, love talking about how Republicans are a bunch of racists. And I agree with you on that. But here's the thing. Republicans are overt racists. Democrats are the ones that say behind your back they're covert. One calls you nigger to your face, the other says behind your back, but both of them still call you nigger and could care less if your kid dies tonight. That is what you guys are missing out on. And speaking of Democrats, that prosecutor, Bob McCulloch, who threw Darren Wilson indictment, grand jury. Bob McCulloch's a Democrat. Those harsh sentencing laws that affected black men to this day, Bill Clinton, a Democrat, put those in. He signed off on them. He put his name on it. Y'all can always say, well, you know, they were doing it. With, oh, first Bush was in office. Who put his name on it? Bill. Who was campaigning that crime stuff? Bill and his wife that you guys are going to vote for. And, oh, yes, I'm going to have to say this. And no disrespect to the women. I understand women wanting to see a female president. I get it. Here's the thing. As a community, we are so damn weak where we got to depend on a woman to save us. But here's the thing. Back to Jesse. And it, before I say that, number is 347-850-1065. Hit the number one. Let me know you want to talk. But I'll say this about Jesse. When you talk about race, it ain't about making white folks feel comfortable. Too many black folks want to make white folks feel comfortable talking about people of color or minorities this. Nah, black. And I know you guys are going to talk about, well, his mom white, he light skinned. Well, your black president who you're caping, who y'all been caping for, has a white mother. He's light skinned. He hasn't said a word. But yeah, he gonna put a second of orders in for immigration. He got out there and holler about the LGBT. Although what happened in Orlando was messed up, but you don't want to see that happen to anybody. But now he wants to put policies in for them. Talking about equal pay for women. Newsflash, people, that's equal pay for white women. Black women, look at the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Quarterly Report. See how far you're lagging behind white women. Oh, yes, black men, white women make more than us as well. Where's the equality? Then you got John Lewis here, who's still living off, marching off Dr. King, marching with Dr. King 50 years ago. Hey, brother, that's 50 years ago. Now you're doing sit-ins because of gun control, when the LGBT had, that clever lady that shot a bunch of gay people, Omar Mateen killed him, mass shooting. Hey, like I said, that is messed up. That is wrong. That's tragic. But why weren't your ass sitting down there doing sit-ins? Black folks can't get access to capital. What was the sit-in when 12-year-old Tamir Rice got shot, Sandra Bland got killed in prison, Eric Garner got killed on camera? Choked out on camera. And the damn chokehold was illegal. Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old boy. There were no sit-ins. There's no sit-ins when it comes to black people want trying to get some access to some capital to create businesses, to create our own communities. So you don't have to go to the white man neighborhood, to the white man's jobs, and us black men can provide our black women with jobs. Where's the sit-ins when you got black majority black schools closed all over the place? Where's the sit-ins when y'all black president and after that parent plus option on your student loans, that's hurting HBCUs more than anything? Where is it? Where are those sit-ins? Now, I'm not a big sit-in person anyway. I believe that's just a powerless move. But that just shows he was more worried about integrating the lunch counter. He, like many black people today, are worried about aligning themselves with white people. Trap power structure. To try to get another trip to the White House. Try to get some extra honey on that biscuit. But here's the other thing. Back to Jesse. Look at that crowd. Jamie Foxx, Samuel Jackson. They look at the NBA, you got your LeBron James and all these other black athletes, male athletes. Hell, if you looked at SportsCenter or whatever, look at how many of these black male athletes, NBA players, are getting record contracts. Guys who are in the bench get $30, $40, $50 million. More, and that's at the low end. You got Mike Conley Jr. got 5 years, $130 million. The highest pay, he's the highest paid player in the league. Well, until LeBron and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant get their money. But think about that. This guy's bringing in 20 some odd million dollars, but ain't got nothing to say. Look at LeBron, for example, where he said he didn't have all the facts when it came to Tamir Rice. Couple of things on this. Tamir Rice lived in Cleveland, born and raised in Cleveland. LeBron James plays at minimum 41 regular season basketball games in Cleveland, Ohio. Akron's like a 30-mile drive. Where he's from, where he lives, Akron, Ohio, it's like, if I remember correctly, like 30 miles up the road. It's not a long drive from Cleveland. So you can't tell me that you didn't know all the facts or you didn't want to say anything. But once, you know, the Orlando nightclub shooting came up, they all got something to say then. And then black people want to come out and say, well, why we got to depend on them? Well, they ain't qualified to do this. Say, speak out. Couple of things. First things first. Watch the Oscars. Watch these white awards. Well, hell, all of them are white because white folks own them all. Let's say the Oscars, the Tonys, the Emmys. Look at the number of white women that came out over the years and spoke about equal pay. Do you have your LGBT members talk about the LGBT rights? You have, what's the name, Eva Longoria talking about the immigration. Latino rights. But when it comes to black folks, somehow everybody wants to become a mute. Nobody has anything to say. And see, here's the problem. People say, well, they ain't qualified. But they're qualified to take our money now, aren't they? They're qualified to take our money when the new LeBrons, the Kobe's, and Jordans come out. They sure are qualified for that, huh? They have all the facts for those shoe numbers coming in, jersey sales, all that attention they get on Facebook and Twitter, all that talk, all that support. They sure qualified for all that, right? But somehow they ain't qualified to say, how dare you not even put this man on trial, Timothy Lomi on trial for killing a 12-year-old boy? Ain't going to lie about it, say he's 20. Hell, if you want the facts, you can look up the facts. They all right there in the open. Tamir Rice played with a toy gun. Police rolled up on him like a drive-by, shot him dead, and lied about it, and let that boy bleed out. Right there. And anyone who knows, you don't just roll up on somebody like that. You'd be like 50 feet away and say, drop the gun. But yet, black people are afraid. They're afraid of losing. My thing is, a lot of these black entertainers got tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. Then he's saying black people are always complaining about not getting in white folks' establishments. You got the Will Smiths of the world, mad because he didn't get nominated for an Oscar. But yet, his production company's all white. You got Leslie Jones talking about white companies want fashion designers on dresser. Why the hell didn't she go find a black designer to dress her and shut it down and launch? Because that Ghostbusters movie is going to, I don't believe it's going to flop. It's going to make a lot of money. It's going to have a lot of eyeballs. That could have been the time to launch that black fashion designer. But I'm going to go to 980 area code. Let's see here. All right. 980229. How are you today? Welcome to the show.
Well, hello. I told you I was going to chime in.
I'm going to hang up your line. The show, the ratings are going down. Well, hello, Mia.
You know, I was listening to what you were saying. And, but, you know, a lot of things I don't agree with because
you never agree
I'm
with
a little
me.
Bit older. I see things a little different. But we don't have leaders like we had leaders in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're using and abusing our own. We can't stand together. My focus is more on the younger people, the 20s and the 30-year-olds, because I'm so past that, to become leaders for the next generation. We can't look at entertainers who are focusing on their money and looking to get into business with other white people, not even trying to build up their old communities, not trying to build up the young black people that's having a hard time to go to school. They can't even get a loan now. You have to have a co-signer. You can't just go and get a school loan like you used to before. So a lot of uneducated people will continue to be uneducated instead of writing, you know, having a scholarship for them. And so you want them to stand up for the things that are happening in our community. They have already disassociated themselves from us. Where the Latinos, they stick together and remember where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they always push forward. Our Haitian brothers, our Jamaican brothers, they stick together. They remember where they came from. We get up there and we talk about it like it's a past, like an old story. And just move on. And then try to, instead of getting these younger urban brothers and sisters, we still try to get in that door instead of building a path for ourselves and letting it continue. We don't do that. I enjoyed Jesse's speech. Some of it, the whole we're magic and all that, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? But I understood his point. I'm going to be honest. I wonder if I'm the only person is that was thinking that was me.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. Because me, you know what? I don't like the whole metaphysical stuff either. I like tangibles.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I said, you know, it's hard enough for people to listen to you anyway. You know, put something out there. Now, what I didn't like is people, and you brought it up, that his mother is white. That is no doing of his own. He's still a black man. When he looks in the mirror, he sees himself a black man. When he walk in the store, he being followed just like every other black man.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same thing with Obama. I don't consider Obama a light-skinned black man. I mean, he's not dark, but he's not light-skinned either.
High yellow.
He's not high yellow. He's not even close to yellow.
I think you'll get on me. You ain't got on me all
you know,
day.
You'll get on me sooner or later. I remember I was on another show and somebody said, you don't understand the black experience because you ain't black enough because of my complexion.
Mm-hmm.
Tell that to the white person who's looking at me because I am black. So I don't need approval for somebody because of my shade. And I don't think
mm-hmm.
those men need approval from anybody because of their shade or the fact that their fathers slept with a white woman. Obviously, they raised that son better than most of us raised ours because he has an awareness that we have not given to our children, to the next generation. He's aware of the struggle. He's aware that he can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more important than anything. He
don't
just talk the talk. He lives his life a certain way. And he was right. As soon as you get that money, you go off and talk about slavery and all sorts of stuff. And he was right. You're going to get that money. And all you do is give that money right back to the white people by buying everything they have. He's right.
Uh-huh.
And if I was his mother, I'd be sitting there proud as hell. Not to my half-white child, my half-black child, of my child. We did well. We raised him well.
Yeah, you know what? You know what, Mia? Sorry. You know, I was, you know, had a long night last night. You know, so I was laying on my couch watching X-Men from the 90s, and I just always liked Magneto more than Professor Xavier, and cause Magneto's more like a Malcolm X type, you know, mind your own business, don't bother us, we ain't gonna bother you, don't bother us. And he was like, hey, stop trying to be nice and be with these people, look at how the humanity is getting you. But what he said was, so many words was, I'd rather die on my feet and live on my knees cowering before them. And with Jesse taught his mama, she knows at the end of the day, that man, he's a man. if here's the sad part. All those black people in that crowd who has more money than him, and if he falls on his face, if they blackball him, because you know they're going to try to in that contract.
Oh, yeah.
He caused too much trouble. You know, they also caused too much trouble.
The scariest thing is an educated black man, not the black woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, I told a woman, I went out with her the night. You know, we got on the black topic stuff, went out to dinner. And I was saying, I wish I knew more then than I do now. Because I said, it pisses me off that the only way my women can get a job is from a white man in most cases. And I wish that we could have provided those. And one thing also, and one thing I was going to say also is that we got to stop allowing, I know because they own everything, but look at how they whitewashed Martin Luther King. They made like he was just some guy marching around not doing anything. He was talking about that money, too. You know, he was talking about feeling, getting your own stuff, taking your money out of these white banks and putting these black banks.
Yeah.
But they don't want to play that, you know. They don't want to play that. They'll talk about Malcolm X.
I was raised a different way. I don't care what they show. It's up to us to educate our children to research.
We don't do that.
Don't trust what the media tells you. Don't trust what people tell you. It's so funny. You can put something on Facebook, say it for now, people believe it's the truth. They don't even take the time to research it.
And you know what, Mia? And the thing is also, when you said that, you're right. And it's like, I was going to get into this also. Like, we all saw that Tommy Lauren rant or whatever. And I was telling black people I know, I said, y'all missing the point. Y'all trying to, mentally masturbate to this stuff. It ain't about being right or the facts. White people control the media. So they could put the propaganda out there. And I was like, where's our alternative? And I was like, we don't have an alternative. There's no balance. So she could say, and I was like, Stacey Dash, I was like, y'all can get mad. I don't even care about Stacey Dash. But I was telling her, but I was like, look, the reason that she's around, I said, because, not you per se, but y'all still talk about her. Y'all still pass around her articles. I say, if you look at all these articles and these websites, you see advertisers. Guess what? Advertisers get money off of that too. You're helping all these folks get rich. You keep her employed.
Yeah, because she hasn't been working in a while.
She's bankrupt, ain't she?
Yes. And she's been having men take care of her. Although she put out there that women should need to stop whining and crying about getting equal pay. And that's sad coming from a woman of any color.
Mm-hmm.
Of any color. Because I don't even consider her black.
Mm-hmm.
Because her stance is not with her people, period.
You know what's going to happen, right?
What?
It's like, what's going to happen? They're going to be like, the same thing happened to OJ. Now I'm black. Hey, guys, I'm black. Hey, can y'all help me out? It's going to happen to Stacey Dash. It's going to happen to some of those guys in that crowd who going to try to like act like they don't know Jesse Williams. Gonna happen to Lee Daniels also.
Lee Daniels is getting a little bit too far. You know, he kind of lost the luster for me when he said that he wanted to. I'm paraphrasing, but to gay down the people's throat.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you push too much sexuality of any kind, I don't care if you're gay or straight, it takes away from the script itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're talking about something important, and then you cut to somebody giving head, it's not that important.
Yeah.
You know, and so his whole thing is being angry, being black, gay. He was, he had mentioned how his father had put him in a garbage can and how he was mistreated by the community and other people. And when he came into the business, you know, it's different from being a white gay and a black gay 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. And so, but he dates mostly white men, which mm-hmm. is his choice, his prerogative. But I think certain battles ain't worth fighting. Show your best, do your best. I don't care what your sexuality is. And I'm tired of comparing being gay to being black. It is not the same thing, because if you don't tell nobody who you're screwing, nobody will know. When you walk in the room and you're a black person, they know.
Yep. And here's the thing. Because you know this, we talk. I got an uncle, very close. He's gay. And for the people out there at Blog Talk Land, well, I'm 37. I was about 15. Mom, my mom's sister, told her that he was gay. Me and my sister was like, so? That's his business. I ain't gonna lie. I was just glad that he don't look like, act like Magic Johnson's son. I ain't gonna lie. I'm glad.
Yeah. Actually, you know, that's what a lot of people complain about, is with the flamboyancy. You know, I can deal with you being gay, but, you know, you 6 foot, you know, nine, and you're in a dress.
Yeah. Like, dude, you're too big for that, man. Know your limitations.
You know?
My uncle, like, 6'3". Like, dude, go, I'm glad. I'm like, yeah. But
yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, I was like, he told, always told, he doesn't go in those movements. Hey, he lives in California. He said because a bunch of white supremacists, for the people out there that want to talk about equality and all that, they don't care about the black gays either. And last time mm-hmm. I checked, nope, the police don't ask who you're screwing or who you're loving when they pull you over. They don't ask who you're screwing when you're at the mall, or they follow you around, or when you're going for that bank loan, or your name sounds black on that resume. They don't ask who you're sleeping with.
And to be quite honest, I don't know any gay person being killed by the police because they are gay. Now, they have been abused by communities being in places and people attacking them, which is not right. On, I don't care who you are. It's not right to victimize anyone. But it's totally different. It's totally different. You know, you're not going to be enslaved because you're gay.
Yep. Yeah. Because, hey, if it would have happened, it would have happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's been going on. People don't realize it's where the research and the reading come in. Beginning of time, people, those ancient philosophers that people quote, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato,
mm-hmm.
were sleeping with their male students. The story of Achilles, I forgot the guy's name who he was best friends with. He, when Achilles got hit, it was like crying over a lover. I remember that part in the book. And had a teacher was telling me that. That stuff's been going around forever. So they're going to prosecute you for that. Oh, not prosecute or persecute. I'm sorry. They would have done it a long time ago. And the thing is that you hit on something, Mia, when you talked about, like, black people, when they get some money, they want to disassociate themselves.
Yeah.
But see, here's the part that kills me. They disassociate themselves, but at the end of the day, they're nothing but a bunch of rich employees. So when you lose that check, who are you going to go to get you back on your feet? That's why I don't hate Tyler Perry, because he put people to work, actually. It's black people. I'm not even talking about on the camera. I'm talking about behind the scenes also, that a lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't see. And, like, look at Will Smith, for example. His production company was all white. How is that helping black folks? There's a lot of talented black people out there who can do that stuff. It's up to us, those people with the money and connections, to do that. But see, the thing is also, like with the Jesse Williams speech, we talked about it before, was he said it, but are people just gonna sit there and clap, or are they gonna say, okay, let's do some mobilization here? Because
they're not. This is what I'm saying. We have no leaders in our community. So why are we sitting in the back and waiting for them to do anything? They haven't been doing anything. They disassociate themselves from us as a unit. It's just like, you know, everybody's for themselves. Yeah, it sounds right. You're standing there because they didn't know what to do. That's why they clapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had to be pretty uncomfortable if you was of the wrong shade.
Yeah. Yeah, especially a black man.
I'm sure some of his family is like, you know, not really down with him. But he's been talking like this before he got on Great, before he got, you know, up there. It wasn't like all of a sudden he became this man.
Yeah, and people want to criticize how his wife looks and stuff. Hey, this man, I don't know how long you've been in
one. I didn't understand that. It's because she's an African-American woman or it's because her hair is natural.
You know what I thought of? Hey, 626 will get you in just a second. First thing I said, I was like, man, I was like, how long have you been dating Freddie from a different world? First thing that crossed my mind. You know, I thought it was Freddie for a second.
All the hair.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's bring in 626 real quick. 626-488. Hey, welcome to the show. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, it's Covina, man. Calling
the show killer himself.
Calling from L.A. area. How you guys doing?
All right.
Yeah, I just gonna ask this. You asked the question: is it, you know, people going to change or whatever from or react from the speech? I really don't think so, because although it was a good speech, it wasn't an "I Have a Dream" type speech. You know, it wasn't gonna get any legislation changed or, you know, that type of. We live in an age of social media, and that's almost like a social media meme in speech form, and it's not really going to get people to do anything unless you can tie it to, hey, I made this speech, donate to X, Y, or Z. Then people are really, it's void of steps to take. Like, okay, I like this speech, I clap, I support it, but what is my step? And unless, you know, he becomes the Pied Piper and lead people down the path or something, I don't think people have the idea of what they should do next type thing. You know, it's just it's a speech, man. That's it.
You know, Covina, man, you know, got me thinking. Y'all could correct me on this. I know Mia always corrected me anyway about something, but
not in public, I don't.
I know, that's good. Yeah. It seems like what's going to happen is black people as a whole will look at it as a symbolic gesture. And we love symbolism. And what's going to happen also is white people they throw their talking heads out there, they'll say something. But at the same time, they probably thinking, oh, yeah, they ain't going to do nothing. He will let them talk because there's a reason his mic was still going on there. It seemed like he was rushing it through a little bit, too. Make sure he got it all in. That's what it sounded like to me. But
you also got to remember
still,
the program in which he was speaking on.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what else also? I was like, yeah, did they prop feature out? I'm like, yeah, so. Anyway,
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I would have closed it out with that. But, you know, the thing is that it's just symbolism. And people are going to look at symbolic gesture. Oh, he said this. It's like when black people call white people, you white devils. Okay, mm-hmm. But they still have their money. You still got to go to them to find a job. You still got to go to them and get a loan from the bank. You know, you still got to buy your car from them, rent your home from them, buy your home from them, you know. So it's like you can call them whatever you want, but they still supplying us our daily bread. But what Covina Man says about donations, think about we have regular, everyday black people who are legit, who have proven they're legit. Be like, hey, crowdfunding for books or movies or kids, these programs. I know a friend, I bought a shirt from her, was like the proceeds going to like a black charity. But black mm-hmm. folks will question them in a heartbeat, say, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can do $5 or $10. But here's the thing, black people out there in Blog Talk land. George Zimmerman, Dylan Roof, these guys got hundreds of thousands of dollars of donations. It wasn't just one business. It was a bunch of people putting $5 and $10 down.
Yeah.
We spend mm-hmm. that just getting in the club. And look at it, and when people say they don't have money, I always say, tell them to look down, see what's on their feet. I've been guilty of that. And so you got money. So if you can't, and mind you, these regular everyday Joes may see on the net, these people can't get a job. They're out there. Their face is out there. They're not going to be in corporate America. Someone has to get out there and say it. And if it's a regular everyday Joe, I'm fine. I'll put $5 or $10 down. I'm not gonna miss $10. But I just but yet we will give money to like new shoes that come out or the new iPhone or the, or whatever that's frivolous.
Mm-hmm. Have to have the next best thing. But what are you gaining from it? You gave money to this company. What are you gaining from it? Because technically, a phone is just a phone. You really just need it for to make phone calls, receive phone calls, do text. It's nice and picture quality. Do you need a $600, $700 phone to do so? No, but you want what you want. But then you don't invest. Those same people that will spend $600 on a phone, I don't care if it's you make payments monthly on your plan or you bought it straight out. It's the same people who won't even invest in their retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make
yep.
sense. The same people that don't have life insurance. Your priorities are screwed up.
And those were the things he was saying. And that's
mm-hmm.
some of the stuff I like because it took like a part of a financial tone. Because I believe our biggest, like, people want to talk about, well, you know, the daddy ain't in the home and you ain't got Jesus or this and that and that. And I'm like, it all boils down
yeah.
to the money.
Mm-hmm.
It all boils down to the money. Because the daddy ain't got money anyway. What's the point of you being in the house anyway? If you can't, if none of y'all can pay the light bill. All you doing is making
mm-hmm.
things worse. So, for example, I always use this example. And I know both of y'all live in the burbs, so y'all know what I'm about to say. With y'all bougie behinds. But, I'll mess with y'all. But you go to the grocery stores in the suburbs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how many businesses that surround that grocery store, the same shopping center. Your pet store, most of them got a dry cleaner. You got some little mom and pop restaurants, a couple of chain restaurants. You probably got some other stuff, some other things around there. And what happens is, this is where y'all, like you were talking about coming together. Even with the black folks start businesses, so many of them like one-man armies around those other white businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being all black people in that strip, that when somebody messes with them, say, hey, we all unified. Now, we may not be giving each other Christmas cards on Christmas, you know, but hey, we all tied in this money. Because it's one thing when you have a whole shopping, like a little shopping center full of businesses that's together, going to the Chamber of Commerce City Council. Then one guy going against the same folks will rub him out and want to put a white business there. So we have to understand that also would have caused a coming together. And let's be honest here, the white man's ice ain't colder, but his treatment of you is colder. And y'all want to talk about how black business, talking about they are bad customer service, but yet you sit there and take bad service from the Asians, the Middle Easterners, and the white people. But yet if a black person can't even give you three knacks instead of four, you want to go to the white man. They will support each other ahead of us.
But that's true. But you know it's also sad? It's and I'm sure most of us know about this Black Wall Street, how we lost and didn't even have the strength to rebuild. Didn't even pass on that information that got them started to the next generation. It never happened again.
Yep. Kavina, man, you were saying something?
Yeah, I wanted to. I was going to say I just would like to know what really prohibits black folks from, like, you know, you had talked about the businesses or whatever and then supporting around the grocery store or whatever. What prohibits black folks? I have my own theory, but I'm just wondering for you. What prohibits black folks from pursuing that rather than constantly repeating that it doesn't happen, right? So it's like, it's not as if, putting the sports terminology, I'm telling my team, you need to draft a quarterback, and they don't. I don't have the power to draft a quarterback. However, if I'm a consumer or whatever, if I'm a black person living in a neighborhood and I want certain businesses in that neighborhood, there's nothing prohibiting me from being the general manager and going out and doing it myself. Why do I have to complain to the rich you know, basketball player, why aren't you building a business in my community so there can be a cleaners right here that's black-owned? Shouldn't I be the black-owned and just go out there and do it and stop complaining and go and do it?
The drive and the wisdom's not there.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. So there's a number of reasons why people aren't doing it. So I don't even see what's the reason of complaining that people aren't doing it if it's in their power to do it and they choose not to. It's a choice. You choose.
They also
choose
don't know
to get
how.
The,
so some, you know, sometimes it's not about you can't do it. You don't know the steps to do it. That's why I said mentoring is valuable. If you don't know how to start a business, you don't know how to get a loan. Mind you, we're denied a loan many times before we can get a loan, okay, majority. And so, or you have a great idea, you get a loan, and you have no business backing. You don't know anything about business, what you're going into. Hey, your idea was great. You finally found a place to do it, but you don't know how to understand the cost of whatever you're doing, the value, how much you need to bring in, when you need to order, and stuff like that. So it's a lot. It sounds simple, but it really isn't.
Yeah, you know what? And here's the thing, like you were saying, and I'm going to put a site out here for people. Score, as in score of a game, .org, that's O-R-G. They got free workshops. You can get free mentorship to retired entrepreneur. The word is free, people, free.
Mm-hmm.
They will help you get with step-by-step planning. All you need is an idea, planning, help you drive financing, help you with coming up with a business plan. Same thing with the Small Business Administration people. You could walk in. I've done it, and I found out, me being a vet, I could get different types of grants and stuff. Pretty much as long as the plan, business plan works out. So right there, I gave y'all two black people out there two avenues, especially with SCORE. And a lot of times, they'll have these free workshops you can walk in. And that's the other word again, free. I did it, air quotations, by the way. So right there, it's free. And I had a cousin one time. I was back in Alabama one time on leave after the Air Force. He was talking about starting a business. And I was like, okay, they got a little free seminar in my hometown, but like SCORE. And I was like, hey, let's go. It was like 9 in the morning, too, like on a Saturday. So 9 in the morning, there ain't no excuses. You got time to get up, crap, shave, make a nice breakfast, kiss your kid, do all kind of stuff. I'm up there. And he was like, man, I'm still asleep, man. You know, I'm like, whoa, hold on now. But what, last week, when I was down there last week, I spent a couple weeks. We was, hey, I hung out with you while you got them new J's, right? You know, or you got the turn up at the club, you got the money you got to come up with. So right there, so my thing is that, and here's the one thing I'll tell my black, I'll talk black males right now. I don't even mess with the women because I look at the men. When you talk to these people and you networking, you got a minute or less for them to take you seriously. So all this, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm saying, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, son, yeah, you know, shit, cuz, all that ain't going to work. You got to be clear and concise. But I'll say this again. The thing is about, when I say SCORE, I kept highlighting free. Because when I said free, any free mentorship, there ain't no more excuses if you want to do it. These folks will tell you how to do it. Now will it fail? It might. Business fail all the time. It's just like getting laid off at your job. That happened to me. So, hey, there ain't no guarantees. So Vince McMahon, for example, XFL failed miserably. He's still doing all right in the WWE. Amazon failed with that Amazon phone. They're doing all right. You know, you're going to fail, so you're going to fall down. But the mentorship
you
is
learn,
there.
You also learn from your failure.
Yep, I learned a lot from them. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember Don Peebles said, you know, for y'all don't know, he's one of the top black real estate moguls in the country. He'd be out there in New York and D.C. and stuff. But the thing he said was, if you want to start a business, your job gives you pretty much the free training to learn how to run the business. And so, but the thing is, when people talk business, I don't talk about just, hey, start a business, start a business, start a business. I look at the deeper ramifications of it. Like, for, I'll say this real quick. For example, in my hometown, Montgomery, Alabama, got a big Hyundai plant. And y'all know those car plants have like 10,000 at minimum people working in them. For people that don't know, my cousin works there. She told me that the police cannot even come out there unless they're called. There ain't no patrols. Those places have their own addresses, zip codes, like Disney World, like their own place. It's like their own little city. But I told my mom, I said, don't you know the owner of that Hyundai plant is the most powerful man in that city? Because he holds the most jobs in the palm of his hand. So that mayor doesn't want to do what he wants. Guess what he can do? Go to the next county. And no mayor wants to have 10,000 lost jobs on his record. I don't care who you are. So that's where the stuff comes in at. But also the other thing, I say this real quick. Look at how many of these young black males that get locked up for, you know, stupid stuff, and they get long sentences for stuff that shouldn't be that long. You're already hard enough trying to get a job. You're a clean citizen, educating all that as a black male, black woman also. Now you got a record. You got plenty of white guys with felonies still bouncing back because white guys have infrastructure. Asians, all them, to get those people jobs, putting them back on their feet. That's another reason I encourage that stuff. My stepfather did his brother. He served some time, like a decade, for like a manslaughter charge. He works at his car dealer, car lot, like his auto shop. Been there for like 10 plus years. I ain't heard a peep out the man yet. Steady income. That's what I mean by like business. The deeper aspect of it just starting because it's a trickle down effect. Good beer. But oh, got a guest in the chat room. But again, that number is I have all this time to do this, I still ain't remember this number. 347-850-1065. But one thing I want to bring up also, because Vendor Man said in the chat. And I know Mia, you've been around, like you know, you say you're an older lady, you ain't that old, Mia. Quit make yourself feel bad. But
I don't make myself
like,
feel bad.
I know, I ain't gonna say, you know, like it's like Jesse, when he was talking about, he was saying black. And the one thing I hate about black people in public figures, always gotta say minorities, people of color, black and brown. Because the last time I checked the police, I yet to say, hey, we're gonna pull over these people of color. These people of color know how to act. They say black. Bigots say the problems of blacks. And Covina, man, he said, the chat, he's a Californian. He said, he haven't heard Latino mention black people since the 70s. And me, I know you're from New York. There's a lot of Latinos in New York, you know. And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Rangel, ain't the mayor, ain't run, ain't in Harlem no more. A Latino took his spot. And so how often over the years you heard Latino people talk about black and brown?
Well, it's a little different in New York because we do talk about black and brown.
Yeah.
We do, you know, versus white and yellow. Because the Latino and the African-American community are used to have the door slammed where they will open it for the others.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wind up sticking together to handle certain things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, New York. Yeah, because I always looked at, like, out here in Phoenix, like, where I'm at, kind of, you know, whole immigration thing, like, pretty much a Mexicans, because we already know they ain't trying to let these Haitians in here. They be sending those Haitians back. People don't want to talk about that. But,
you know it.
Yeah, and out here in Phoenix, these Mexicans don't say nothing about black and brown.
Mm-mm.
They talking about themselves. But here's the thing. I'm not mad at them. They should be worrying about themselves first, second, and third. Make sure they right first. You know, it's kind of like the old, like Claude Anderson always say about when the oxygen mask come off on a plane, you ain't supposed to put on anybody else first. You're supposed to put on yourself first. Then you try to help somebody else out.
Yeah.
And the thing with them, because there's parts of things, well, you got businesses. Like the wording on a business is in Spanish. No English translation, but they got their own little grocery stores there, auto shops and all that. It may, the grocery store may not be Albertsons or Safeway, but it's theirs and they hire their own. And a lot of times black folks love saying, hey, you can work at the government, you can work at the city or the state. Here's the problem. I had to get a new Social Security card the other day. So I peaked game on this. Besides the one white guy working in there and the one black guy being the security guard, how ironic. All the women that work at that desk, they were Latino, Mexican women. And guess what they were doing also? They had to be bilingual because they got to, because their people getting Social Security cards don't speak a lick of English. And so we ain't, so we don't even get those jobs at the state no more. Those jobs are gone. And see, that's where the business thing come in. Like I listen to Yvette Cardell on Facebook. Like I read up all the time because, you know, I just like how she gets on Hillary. I love it. But she was talking about like a post Jobs era. And she was like, where the jobs at? You know? And because you got a lot of qualified people who can't even find a job now. Or like they just stuck. And that's where, like, if we hire, we were able to create stuff and hire our own. Because we got a lot of talented black, young black people out there. You see it all the time. There's so much talent. You got a little black girl got like a big time deal with Lemonade she made. You know, you got, you got the, and I ain't talking about entertainment because I don't like that every time we're on the way, it's like we could get some money that we got to dribble a ball or tell some jokes. Nothing wrong with that or sing a song. But we got like the brother who created the bevel like shaving the bevel razors, and like you got those big companies trying to buy him out. Guess what? He ain't selling. He's keeping it. So look at it. You got a brother that made hundreds of millions already, a couple of hundreds of millions off of creating into that market. You got brothers. It's like you got these brothers in the culinary industry doing, and brothers and sisters in the culinary industry doing well. Heck, I say this real quick. If I put up 845 area code, that's a sister I know, a Facebook friend. She's a chef. She's a caterer, personal chef, and all that. And her stuff's straight fine dining. It ain't soul food. I ain't knocking the soul food spot, but I'm damn glad we got black people ain't doing soul food. I'm tired of it. You know, but let me go to 845 area code. 845. Welcome to the. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? My name is Mike. I'm calling from Queens, New York. Good. How you doing?
Going all right. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. I was just listening online, and I started to call in. You said a couple of things that really, really had me thinking. The last thing you just said, where you're talking about brothers that invented stuff and brothers and sisters who were inventors in our community and develop certain things. I think we got to kind of realize that we live in an age that creativity is not encouraged in America, because America basically wants to keep black people basically in a stagnant state so that we don't create and invent anything, because they know that through invention, we can wield ourselves off of the American dollar. And that's really what this society is all about. It's about keeping everybody enslaved under the American dollar. Because, you know, people ask all the time, well, people try to give this false impression that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. No. America realized that it couldn't keep people in chattel slavery forever. Why? Because of what happened in Haiti. When the Haitian Revolution happened, America was watching it. People have to realize that. So when they saw that, they had to understand that, look, these people, we got to figure out a certain way to keep them basically suppressed so that we can still make money off of them, so that we can still use them as labor. So the way to do that is to bring them into our economy. We'll claim that they're free, and then we'll reduce the, like I said, the ideals of creativity. We'll suppress them. You know, you look at the music today all sounds the same. Why? Because creativity is suppressed. Everybody follows the formula and does the same thing. So we need to get, first of all, we need to get from up under the media, and we have to have our own media so that we can basically put the images out there of these brothers and sisters that are going to college, of these brothers and sisters that are doing things positive. Because with the way that we have it, we're not making the own narrative for our media. People, other people are telling our story or telling the world who we are. And that's got to stop. You can't allow it because it's a false image that's being displayed on a grand scale. So everybody then believes it. We have to destroy that, and we have to start taking control of our own narrative so that we be able to tell who's going to college and who's really doing big things out there. You know, people talk about Jesse Williams. Jesse Williams has been doing stuff like this for years, but yeah. It takes them to be on the world stage in BET for everybody to recognize. I'm like, this brother's been saying stuff for years. For years he's been saying this type of stuff. For years he's been doing the work. But it never got attention. Why? Because the media at the time did not cover it. BET is covered because of all the buffoonery on BET. That's how he got coverage. So he had to go on a buffoonery media outlet to get coverage to talk about something positive. Now you see that? That's why we got to take back our media. It's very important.
Man, 845, man, you on point. And one thing, I put on my Facebook, I get my moments because I post a lot more in groups than I do on my main page. But I had to put it out there. You got me thinking what I put down. Alfred was talking about like how black folks are all mad at Tommy Lauren, mad at Stacey Dash. And the thing that my problem was that, where's our media? I was like, we had ample opportunity to do it, but maybe instead of integrating a lunch counter for folks who don't want us in there anyway, maybe we should have created our own media. Maybe we should have had our own newspaper outlets, and maybe we should have had, like, you know, especially back then, might be able to do something like TV stations or something so we could put our stuff out there, because there's no punishment also for black people who speak out against us. Because last time I checked, now y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I know Mia will. You know, I've yet to see an LGBT coon speak out against their own. A Latino coon speak out against, go on TV and speak out against illegal immigration. Hell, Convita Man knows this one. That was a Mexican. I think it was Mexican, so I'd say Latino because I don't want folks jumping on me. Police chief who was going to go to court against his own department so those illegal immigrants that had their cars towed, they got pulled over because of inconvenience. He risked it all for his folks. And he was in a position of power. But you don't see them going against his own people. You don't see a Jewish coon going to go against his own people. Or a white, you know, you don't see that stuff. But with us, we got people that are lining up our own to speak out against us for the extra honey on a biscuit. But once those white media outlets are through with you, you're going to be like OJ trying to be black again. Trying to say, hey, man, I was black all along with racism. No, you spoke out against us. You didn't have our best interest when you was getting money. But now times get rough. Now you want black folks to support you. And that's some of the things like 845 got me thinking about.
I think there's a reason why they pay black people to be the coons. And you don't have to pay Latino people to be coons because they're probably on the same side anyway, as far as like whatever they're trying to achieve. But the black folks, because Obama's in office, they're on a, you know, pay the coons the extra money in order to, you know, compensate for something. I think black people historically had media, right? From the Final Call, Jet Magazine, yep. Ebony, they had, but it's like most
you know, hard copy news or articles or magazines. We're in a different era, so it's digital and it doesn't sell as much. And I'm with you that black folks need their own media and need to criticize these coons. But at the same time, like Tariq Nasheed had his, you know, Plantation Awards ceremony, and although it was very funny, it was very funny and enjoyable, it almost seemed like, I don't know, it was ineffective to only, maybe just the first, you know, Plantation Awards ceremony, but it seemed like it's only characterizing ourselves by just name-calling coons. Although I enjoyed it, it was a heck of a great show. I just feel that was a little bit lacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing is, I was like, and it's like, even like, let's say the Ebony's and the Jets, you know, I think it was Ebony and Jet, they sold the magazine and everything. But the problem is that we got too many black people. And see, like you, convenient man, talking about Obama. That's what crossed my mind. I'm sorry. I'm getting old. People think white supremacists are stupid. Like, black folks think Donald Trump is stupid. No, he isn't. Think about this, for example, like white supremacy. Like, Obama's in office. You know, there's a lot of those black folks that got on TV are ones that say, hey, don't you criticize him. He doing this. They blocking him. Never name what's being blocked. Now, I know the Republicans stand in his way, but I always say, just at least name me something, at least. That's being blocked, at least. Don't just tell me being blocked, name something. And, because, you know, like with those white politicians running for office, they name everything. Those folks voted for and voted against. You know, so they hired, look at all the white, like MSNBC, the list of Harris Perry's, Al Sharpton got that show, and Byron Allen exposed him for that dude selling out. He could have got more money off of MSNBC. He was smart. But you got all these. You got these people that were angling, always being these defending every single thing. But soon as the president is almost out of office now, they don't have jobs now. You know, they might replace some of white people for whoever's gonna be in office next. So if we had our own or something as our own, those people could still have been working there or would have been out. But we don't even have an alternative. We all, because here's the thing, the one with the money has the power. Who signs the check has the power. And we're dependent on the same check as the oppressor. And that's a problem.
Yeah, let me address that too, man. I think that, like, if you look at Roland Martin, like, he has a show on TV One or something. Now, the thing is, Roland Martin's show is not going to be able to compete with the Morning Joe. I mean, because let's say the Roland Martin show is I'm saying it's only addressing, say, black people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a Morning Joe show is going to address black people, white people, Latino people, Asian people. They try to include, you know, everybody because they're trying to be a broad company. Whereas black folks, for every reason, they focus on, we want to have a black donut shop. I'm just giving an example. So we're going to make donuts for black folks. Whereas the Asian people just open up a donut shop, say, we make the best donuts for the best price on the block, come to our shop. So they make the best product. But black folks is only focused on, let me sell donuts to black folks. So they need to do the Roland Martin shows or whatever, the black media is only focused on black folks. So white corporations who buy advertisements say, you know, we'll appeal to the black folks that's watching MSNBC, and we'll skip the ones that's only focused on black folks. So you put them in a position to take away money from you by saying, well, since we only approach black folks, then we'll just wait on black corporations to come in and support us. And those black corporations don't have the money to support Roland Martin, so he's going to stay marginal.
Hey, if I could just bring something to light also with what the brother was just saying. He was talking about the Chinese and different races and what they own. I live in New York, right? New York is a melting pot, yet it's a very segregated city. And I'm going to tell you why. In New York, there are certain neighborhoods, there are certain areas that belong to certain ethnic groups. They might be a little bit integrated because of influxes of different immigrants over time, but they've never changed those neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods basically have stayed the same, and they've stayed in the power of those who have been there for years. Places like Chinatown, places like Hell's Kitchen. These areas are controlled by certain ethnic groups. And you got to understand something, and this is something that Black people just didn't get. At one time, Harlem, the same Harlem that is known for Black consciousness and Black people, that used to be controlled by the Italians. We came in, we bought it up, and then you know what we did? You know what we're doing right now? We're selling it. We're not keeping it in our hands. We're selling it right back to white folks again. So now you're having white folks moving back up into Harlem in droves over there by the 125th Street area, right by their problems. They're moving back in.
A lot of us don't actually own it. We may live there.
We to own Harlem. Don't get it twisted. You got to understand something. A gentleman by the name that they call the gangster, Bumpy Johnson, Johnson came in and kept Harlem black. You have to understand that. The Italians were pushed over into East Harlem. So the rest of Harlem was basically black, and the only territory that the Italian mafia had left was East Harlem. This is why there was such a rift between the mob and the black mob that was up in Harlem. This was what it was all about, because people like Bumpy Johnson was like, hey, don't sell your home to these white folks. Don't sell your property to these white folks, because the Italian mob was actually trying to buy them out. But what happened was, after that structure fell, they flooded Harlem with drugs, and people started moving out because it got so bad. And then years down the line, what do they do? Gentrification. They start building up in Harlem, and then they raise the rent. When they raise the rent, black people cannot afford to stay there anymore. Therefore, they have to sell. Therefore, we have somewhere to come in now as white people and take over.
Doing the same thing in Brooklyn.
They've done this with neighborhood after neighborhood and after neighborhood. And one more thing. You have to understand this as well. Every ethnic group controls the aspects of its neighborhood. For instance, you go to Chinatown in New York, Chinatown has its own police force of Asian cops that speak fluent Chinese so that they can communicate with the Chinese people down there. A lot of people don't realize that. They have their own force. Certain precincts are basically, there's more Asian cops there so that they can deal with the Chinese population in Chinatown. People don't realize that. Same thing with the Irish, same thing with the Italians. They've done this on purpose so that every aspect, when there's a problem, they're dealing with their own people. That's why you had a lot of mob guys that knew a lot of cops, because the cops that were in the neighborhood were from their neighborhood. So there was no problem. And that took a lot of time for them to break that down so that they could get to that organization, because it was an understanding. It was kind of like a handshake and a nod that this is our neighborhood and we want to keep it ours. So they tried to control every aspect from it, from the EMS worker to the post office to the firemen. You have to control everything in your neighborhood, the stores, all of that. That has to all be owned and controlled by you. When you have that under your control, you have more of a bargaining tool where you can now make power moves. You can't make power moves if nothing is owned by you. And this is where we've messed up. We did all that talk and we did all that revolutionary stuff, but we forgot that money is power in America. You have to own stuff.
I think you gave a great example, you know, the sort of old 19th century America, where I think that in the 21st century America, people are trying to go. Now, they may not be succeeding at it, but they're trying to go in a different way. See, all those old, you know, Philadelphias and New Yorks of the world, that the whole society was, you know, if a Jewish guy does this for the Jewish people, the Italians do this for the Italians, and the Irish do this for the Irish, that's the type of world that Martin Luther King and, you know, civil rights, whatever, were trying to do away with. As you go further west, that's not as prominent, where you have, you know, Chinese people own this, and that's old 19th century America, and we're in the 21st century America, where in the next century, or this century that we're building in now, everyone has an opportunity. I think that's why a lot of times you'll see white people say to us, hey, Obama hasn't done anything for you black people. And I think that the thing is, white folks' mentality is, oh, when you get in power, you're supposed to do stuff for your people. If you're an Italian, you get into office, you're supposed to make everything Italian-centric and screw over the non-Italians. Oh, if you're Irish and you get in power, you're supposed to do the same thing. So that's when black folks get in power. Oh, they was expecting Obama to come in and shit on all the non-black people and put black folks in power and do the same kind of racial, ethnic-centric stuff that white supremacists have been doing for 500 years. And Obama came in and said, no, I have a different way. I'm coming in. I'm going to help everybody. So that includes the Italian, the black, the Latino, and everybody else. And they're like, wait a minute. That's not how we worked it. We worked it for white supremacy. Obama came in and said, I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not thinking that way. If I'm going to help the educational system, I'm going to help the educational system for everybody. White folks had a different mentality. When they come in power, they help the educational system for white folks. So it's like that was the old New York model. You just gave a great model of the old New York, America, Boston, Philadelphia model of you come in power and it's ethnocentric. You in power, you do stuff for your people. And we're in a new America. If you're going to have an ethnic divided society, you've got to turn the calendar back a few hundred years.
What I'm saying is that it's still divided, dude. I'm saying that you go down to Red Hook, Brooklyn, still owned by Jews. So it hasn't changed. The only thing that has changed is that now there's even more influxes of different immigrants that weren't here before. Like, for instance, in New York now you have more Mexicans. See, there wasn't Mexicans a couple of decades ago like that. Now they're coming in. And guess what? They're doing the same thing. They're dwelling in certain different areas, and they're buying up the property. They're buying up the storefront. They're buying up the houses and stuff like that, and they're turning it into little areas where Mexicans dwell at. So what I'm saying is that we're the only ones. We're the only ones that aren't doing this, and it's costing us. We have to change. We have to go to that type of monologue, because if we don't own anything, how can we tell somebody this is ours, or you can't do this, or you can't do that in our neighborhood if we don't own it? Because the police force, let me tell you something, the police force works for those who own that land. That's what the police force was originally created for the rich folks that own stuff, that wanted their businesses and properties protected. That's what they do. So if you don't own it, and you stay there, and something happens or whatever, and you call the police, what do you think they're going to act in the best interest of? You who's renting it, or the person that's property it is?
Ooh. You know what? You know what? It's a problem. Like, I hear black folks say, well, black folks leaving the hood and ain't building black communities. I said, whoa, hold on. Maybe if we own those homes there, you really get on people leaving if you own the property. But you brought up a good point about owning and controlling. Like, convening man brought up a good point about President Obama helping everybody else. The problem with, I believe, him helping everybody else, all these other groups, you could name a policy that came their way that helped them. We got left behind, but at the same time, we got everything we wanted as a collective. Symbolism and a black family in a White House that we can hang a picture on the wall. That's what, as a collective, we demanded. But I don't know. I bet all of y'all seen Departed. And that opening scene where Jack Nicholson, I'm paraphrasing, he talked the problem with the N word, blacks, is that it's not gonna be handed to you. Power, you gotta take it. And you got to take it. No one has ever had a revolution by just begging and praying for it. The American Revolution was violence. And here's the thing also. I heard a man say this online. He said, if you can't speak your mind as a black man, you are not a free black man. And we got too many men who are afraid to say anything. And see, the problem, I say this real quick, he was the president. And like I was telling people, I said, even if he did get shot down, but I'm still alive from The Undertaker. I still watch wrestling, so don't judge me, y'all. I went to the show out here in Phoenix 2 weeks ago. I still watch wrestling. It's real to me, damn it. I'm playing about that part. But The Undertaker said, he stood in the locker room and said, there's no shame in getting out and fighting and getting your ass kicked. But there's no honor in not fighting at all. And that was the only thing I asked for the president. Show me where you fought. That's all I ever asked for. And, you know, because if you get shot down, you get shot down. But at least saying, I know people say they don't let him do this, they don't let him do that. I'm sorry, I know my checks and balances, but damn it, you the president. And I didn't like the fact where I always thought it set a bad tone, these two things. When then Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, when he got off that plane to Phoenix and she put that finger all in his face and he ain't checked her. And when that one Senate congressman yelled out, you lie, to him in front of the whole world, and he said nothing. That made me look at him as a weak black man. Because I don't care about looking presidential. You're not gonna diss me like that. Because I tell you right now, people say they want to about the guy. W wouldn't have taken that. W would have checked Chad Brewer, and he would have checked that congressman and said, you lied. It may not have been presidential, but you would have checked him. And sometimes you could be presidential, you could be elegant or whatever. You know, you could be a very great orator, classy and all that. But sometimes you got to put the big boy pants on and get your hands a little dirty sometimes and check people when they step to you like that.
Because Obama was a pawn. I hate to say it, brother, but Obama was a pawn. You have to understand that George W. Bush made a lot of black people mad while he was in office.
Yep.
With that Katrina stuff, with the killings and stuff like that, the little racial killings that was going on. I think the Genesis stuff happened around his time too.
He did.
Black people were furious with this guy. You know, the Iraq War and all of that. So what they needed was a president to calm America down, because they knew. I'm telling you, they were this close to something going down in America. I'm telling you, people were furious. So they needed somebody to come in and put everybody back to sleep. And that was President Obama. They had to give the strategic look of that America is changing. Look, you got your first black president. What? That's an achievement for you. Everybody claps. Everybody, oh, America is changing. We do have a chance. This stuff is done strategically. You will never be able to control a society that has been controlled by people for years. I don't care how much you vote. I don't care how much you try to get certain offices. At the end of the day, it is their society. The only thing that you can do is, like I said, get together your resources and own your land so that you can stake claim to those particular areas. And then you work together as a collective. That's how you win. You cannot win in their society. You can't be a pawn in their society and think you're going to change the overall. And that's what Obama found out when he got into office. I'm sure Obama had plenty of ideas for black people. But when he got into office and the quote-unquote stuff hit the fan, he got a rude awakening that, look, you don't control this here. We put you in office to do a certain job, and this is what you're going to do. And if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to make life very hard for you. And that's just it. He found that out the hard way. There's no way around it. Just look at it. Look at the health care thing he was trying to do. That would have directly helped black people. Black people would have been able to go to any doctor without having to pay out a lot of money. Would have been able to go to any hospital if they got hurt. who wanted to make sure that that shit didn't happen? White folk. Like, no, we're not going to give these guys free medical care. Are you kidding me? You know how much money the medical community would have lost? The medicine community? Are you serious? People don't realize that. So they had to keep everybody asleep. Everybody has to be asleep so that no one tries to revolt, so that no one tries to change anything. Like the brother was saying, all change comes from taking stuff. They had to keep everyone asleep to think that the American dream was still possible.
Yeah. You know what? I hate to tell people this. The American dream went away when Dusty Rhodes stopped wrestling. Another wrestling reference. If people know about that, oh yeah, like y'all know who Dusty Rhodes is.
Yeah, we know
him. Rest in peace, Dream. But and one thing he said also, and like, and what people don't know, that was a lot of stuff he got from Mitt Romney. Those Republicans, oh, I hate this plan. Oh, that was the same plan Mitt Romney used in Massachusetts, virtually. But here's the thing, and I always tell people, and the one thing I hate when they say let. He wasted no time signing that police protection bill. You know, so black people out there saying F the police online or saying you're going to pop a cop, saying all that stuff, they're going to come get you. They already done it, the black people already. But yet, where was any legislation on these unarmed black kids getting shot, black people that is, getting killed? Where was the legislation on that stuff? Or the John Lewis, as I said earlier, for people may have missed it, what was the sit-in for that? You know, you got... Let's just take adults out the picture right now. You got children being killed on camera, and a man ain't that cop ain't even going to trial for a child. But you got white folks still mad at Mike Vick over dogs over 10 years ago, and that man he lost what people don't realize. He lost that huge contract. His best shoe was coming out that year. Lost all that money in his prime. And they still bothering him. But yet, you got legislation. I ain't blaming the president on that. But the problem is that we got black children, black women, like Arlene Pinnock in California got beat down like an MMA fighter beat down somebody. The National Organization of Women is nowhere to be found. Gloria Steinem, Gloria Allred, they were nowhere to be found when that black grandmother got beaten on the side on the I-10. Now, I know Kavina Man know about that story too well, being out there. Yeah. And I think there were no charges on that cop. And look at the young lady out there in McKinney, Texas. That cop, Eric Kleibo, not charged. And let's say if somebody's mama hit that girl, that young lady, I forgot her name. I can't pronounce her name. I don't want to butcher the young lady's name. If her mama hit her like that, they ready to put her mama in jail. But somehow the cops won't be there. But here's the thing that gets me. When cops kill white folks, they all out there talking about, man, these police officers are out of control. They need to do something about these cops. Overstep their boundaries. You know what I do? I'll start sipping my tea like Kermit. you know, I just don't care. It's like people say with Carolyn, hey, I'm going to show the same indifference they say to us. I'm going to say maybe that white guy should have pulled up his pants. Maybe he should have listened to that cop. Maybe he shouldn't have resisted. Maybe he shouldn't have stolen that moon pie in the fifth grade. They always try to dig up stuff on black people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing. Because when you got your and like I always tell black people, I'm tired of everybody being happy because a black person got a nice seat, comfy seat at the table. One of the first things Loretta Lynch did was she got that spot as attorney general. It's great. First black female attorney general. That's great. But she talking about worrying about police morale. What about black folks' morale? When you got black people being killed and no one even going to court. And I said this earlier. I shut up. Bob McCulloch, the DA who threw the Darren Wilson case, who shot Mike Brown, who was another 18-year-old. My old say he's a kid, 18 years old. Bob McCulloch's a Democrat. So for all you black folks that love saying Republicans are the biggest racists in the world, Democrats are working right there with them. One just dropped the M-bomb to your face, The other one does not go behind your back. Hey, who got the background noise over there?
Not me, I'm on mute, dude.
All right, yeah, somebody did cool
I'm just
something.
Sitting here.
All right, so yeah, if it's S845, hey, you doing something? Meet your phone real quick. But I said we got like 24 minutes left, and there will be no overtime because I got to lay down on my couch because, you know, yesterday was a long evening, and I got a barbecue in the morning. Sorry to say that. But
yeah, I got to run in a minute, too.
Yeah, because I might shut it down in a minute anyway. But I want to say thank you for everybody who called in. Listen, go listen to the archives. I know it's July 4th weekend. It's a lot of partying going on, a lot of barbecuing, because I'm doing it in the morning. And, you know, but also remember what's going on out there. Remember, a lot of stuff get pushed while we out there partying and having a good time. Remember, white supremacy never sleeps. They take no days off. When you see white guys take trips, a lot of do it for business purposes. They scouting profit. They look at stuff. We got to look at stuff as a business as well. It starts today. Like I said, score.org, free entrepreneurship advice, mentorship, step-by-step free help with business plans. Your local small business administration, help with business plans, help try and position you for a loan. And there are black banks in this country. If you're near a black bank, find one of those bankers and say, what do I need to do to get a loan? What do I need to do to start preparing? Learn that business. And it's not just saying like a store just for black people. It's just black owned. Or like black me, not for black people. It's just black owned where, hey, if like Trayvon Martin, when he got shot, they try to ruin his record like on CNN and stuff. We got black people that said, no, that's not the case. That's what I mean. Do you, like, Mia, 845, y'all got any last words before I shut it down?
Nah, man, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, we need to build our own. And, you know, ownership is power today. You have to own what you're on. You have to own the land that you're on. You know, for all those black people that are out there, you know, instead of invest your money in these politicians. Invest your money into your business ideas. You know what I'm saying? Build your own business. Build your own self up. And, you know what I'm saying? Get your money up. You know what I'm saying? So that you can change your community from within. We don't need the help of the government like that. We really don't. No. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, I want to say thanks for calling in, too, because, hey, learned a lot. And I admit, I don't have all the answers, but I like learning from people, hearing what different black people got to say because, you know, I'm a sports fan. I talked about a lot about the NBA Finals, and I'm going to talk a lot about Alabama football when the season come up. But at the same time, when stuff like this comes up, and I wanted to go on and speak some stuff, and because at the same time, Mia taught me this one. Give me a shout-out, Mia. Sometimes we don't know the impact of what we say on these airways. We don't know who's listening. Sure. It could be a young black person email us out the blue or just listen in and really move by the things we say. I want to appreciate all those people as well. So, Mia, do you have any closing thoughts? I know you got a lot to do this evening.
Well, actually, I'm actually having a party right now. And so that's why I'm quiet most of the time.
Hey, Mia.
You know,
I'm
not a baby.
You know what?
Club baby.
Yeah, I would say I would have been the part. I would have been like about 8 people to 2-liter generic soda. You know how black we do it. But, hey, I let y'all get to it. I want to say thank everybody calling. I know it was a family weekend. I just want to get out there, put something out there. I'm paying for this every month. I need to do something.
Well, I told you that I would call in, and I did, because I believe in supporting each other. Regardless, you can take some time out, you know, and help somebody else support them. And to the fellas that came on and made their comments, I enjoy them immensely.
I enjoyed what you were saying.
Yeah,
because we need, like, I like it when the men speak up and, like, they respect you as a black woman also. I like that. Because a lot of these dudes try to shut women down, you know, but I'm glad everybody came in.
You know,
I respect everyone. You ain't lying. I had to take up for you once or twice. He shut me down that I got this. But,
I never did that.
I know. But you know what, though?
I'm leaving you.
You ain't lying. You know, you don't play. But you know what? I want to say thank you all, because that's what things about New York that I didn't know. I never really been in New York. So I'm glad people who was from there taught me things about that. And I can share that
one
stuff.
One more thing. You want to know the history on it? Look up I believe it's the Morello family. Remember that chick from what was it? Mob Wives, Angie, that died.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Look up the Morello family and see who they're connected with. They're all connected, okay? And then you have black people up there talking about rest in peace. You talking about rest in peace to a doggone enemy, the Harlem? I'm not with that. They was in a turf war with Bumpy Johnson and them. I don't ride with them like that. Okay? So you look up the Morello family from back then, and then you get back at me.
Yo, that's my other nephew.
Yeah, right. But what I'm going to do is say, hey, but you guys have a great night. And I'll go ahead. I might do another one soon. But, hey, you guys have a great night. Thanks for calling in. Thanks to everyone in chat and everyone in the archive. Go listen to the archives. You guys have a great Saturday. And remember, Uber is your friend, people. Lyft is your friend. No drinking and driving. Y'all take it easy.
All right. Good night.
All right.